this way, not a whole lot, just a couple chapters to read, but it's just so powerful that something that we have to take a look at, we have to consider. And these past few Torah portions really been dealing with them a lot, because it's truly about the heart. It's the heart condition of man, woman, boy, child. And I'm going to show you in the scripture tonight how it was laid upon me on the condition of man and his heart. It can be satisfying unto him, or you can be displeasing unto him. But don't stone me. We're going to look at the word. We're going to let the word clear it up. Because we know that in the heart of man, the scripture says it's corrupted, it's crooked, it's sick. And it takes Jehovah to fix it. It takes the blood of Yeshua to cleanse it. And we have to be open-minded to his ways, not my ways, not the ways of our leader, of our pastor, but it's his ways. The scripture said, it's he that had made us, and not we ourselves. We are his sheep. Anyway, I know we've been talking about the Mishkan, and we're building right now Vayakhel. And he assembled. And we know Moshe is down off the mountain. He's got all the pieces to put everything together. And this is what we see the assembly doing, putting everything together. And he had to do it exactly the way Yehovah showed him the pattern on the mountain. But this is where the heart of the people has to come in. But let's look at 1 Kings. You know, in my plan, I was going to read something else. And I'm looking in the book of Ecclesiastes. I've been reading Ecclesiastes for 5 days last week. I was over in out of town in Morgan City. And why am I reading Ecclesiastes? You know, and what Shlomo's saying. And I get confirmation one day with Brother Chad. He texted me Ecclesiastes. I said, man, we're just reading that. I said, maybe that's confirmation. That's what we're going to start at. And I looked at some stuff. I was building my case in Ecclesiastes. And a couple days ago, I'm sitting down early in the morning, because this is when you want your time. You have to have set apart time with him. And he says, go to the Haftorah and let me teach you something. So I had to be obedient and go to the Haftorah. But we need to start reading. But I'm going to start a little early, because I need you to see in 1 Kings chapter 7, I need you to see the heart of the king, of Shlomo. His heart, he was all in. He gave his all. When he built that temple, he built it to a T. Beautiful. Twice the size, three times the size of what Moshe built. With the gold and the silver. So let's read about it. I don't want you to take my word for it. Let's see what the scripture describes. And Shlomo built his own house, verse 1, for 13 years, and he completed his entire house. And he built the house of the forest of Lebanon. And it was 100 cubits long and 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high, with four rows of cedar columns and a cedar beam on the column. Now he's building his house right now. Beautiful house. 150 foot long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. This is no little bitty house. And he paneled it with cedar above the beams that were on 45 columns, 15 to a row. And there were windows with narrow frames in three rows, and windows was opposite windows three times. And all the doorways and doorposts had square frames, and window was opposite window three times. And he made the porch of columns, 50 cubits long and 30 cubits wide. And the porch was in front of them, and the columns, and the roof was in the front of them. And he made a hall for the throne, the hall of right ruling where he ruled, and it was paneled with cedar from floor to floor. And the house where he was to dwell in the outer courtyard within the hall was of like workmanship. And Shlomo made a house like this hall for Pharaoh's daughter, who he hath taken. All these were of precious stone, hewed to size, sawed with saw, inside and out, from the foundation to the coping, and also on the outside to the great courtyard. And the foundation was of precious stones, large stones, stones of 10 cubits, and stones of 8 cubits. And above were precious stones, hewed to size, and cedar wood. So the great courtyard all around had 3 rows of hewed stone, and a row of cedar beam, and was the inner courtyard of the house of Jehovah, and the porch of the house. So there's no slouch of a place. He goes into great detail. And the sovereign Shlomo sent and brought Hiram from Soar. And he was the son of a widow from the tribe of Naphtali. And his house and his father was a man of Soar, a bronze worker. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and skilled in working with all kinds of bronze work. So he came to the Solomon Shlomo and did all his work. This is some stuff we just learned about when you read about Moshe, them guys. I believe the same spirit was in this guy to do this kind of work. And he cast 2 columns of bronze, each one 18 cubits high, and a line of 12 cubits measured the circumference of each. And he made 2 capitals of cast bronze to put on the top of the columns. The height of 1 capital was 5 cubits, and the height of the other capital was 5 cubits. And lattice needle network with wreaths of chain work for the capitals which were on top of the columns. 7 chains for 1 capital and 7 for the other capital. And he made the columns and 2 rows of pomegranates above the network all around to cover the capital that were on top. And so he did for the other capital. And the capital that were on top of the columns in the hall were in the shape of lilies, 4 cubits. And there were capitals above also on the 2 columns by the bulge, which was next to the network. And all the pomegranates were 200 in row on each of the capitals all around. And he set up the column by the porch of the Hekel. And he set up the column on the right and called its name Yakin. And he set up the column on the left and called its name Boaz. And I don't even know if I write it in my notes. But this was a beautiful place. You can go look these names up. And on the top of the column was lily work. Thus the work of columns were completed. And he made the sea of cast metal, 10 cubits from one rim to the other, round all about, and 5 cubits high, and a line of 30 cubits measured around it. And below its rim were ornaments all around, 10 to a cubit, all the way around the sea. The ornaments were cast in 2 rows when it was cast. It stood on 12 oxen, 3 facing north and 3 facing west, and 3 facing south, and 3 facing east. And the sea was set upon them, and all their back parts were inward. You talk about a laver. And it was a handbreadth thick, and its rim was shaped like the rim of a cup, like a lily blossom. It held 2,000 baths. And he made 10 strands of bronze. Each strand was 4 cubits long, and 4 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high. And this is how the strands were made. And they had side panels. And the side panels were between frames. And on the side panels that were between the frames were lions, oxen, and cherubim. And a pedestal above on the frame, below the lions and oxen, were wreaths of beaten work. And each stand had 4 bronze wheels and axles of bronze, and its 4 feet had supports. Under the basin were cast supports beside each wreath. And its opening inside the crown at the top was 1 cubit. And the opening was round, like the work of a pedestal, 1.5 cubits. And also on the opening were engraving, but the side panels were square, not round. and four wheels were under the side panels, and the axles of the wheels were joined to the stand, and the height of a wheel was 1.5 cubits. And the wheels were made like chariot wheels. Their axle pins and their rims and their spokes and their hubs were all cast. And there were four supports at the four corners of each stand. Its supports were of the stand itself. And on the top of the stand, 0.5 cubit in height, round all around. And on the top of the stand, its flanges and its side panels were the same. And on the plates of its flanges and on its side panels, he engraved cherubim, lions, and palm trees, according to the clear space on each, with wreaths all around. And he made the 10 strands like this, and all of them were of one mold, one measure, and one shape. And he made 10 strands of bronze. Each basin contained 40 bats, and each basin was 4 cubits, one basin on each of the 10 stands. And he put 5 stands on the right side of the house, and five on the left side of the house. And he put the sea on the right side of the house to the east, facing the south. And Hiram made the pots and the shovels and the bowls. And Hiram completed doing all the work that he was to do for Solomon Shlomo at the house of Jehovah. The 2 columns and the 2 bowl-shaped capitals that were on top of the columns, and the 2 networks covering the 2 bowl-shaped capitals which were on the top of the columns, and 400 pomegranates for the 2 networks, 2 rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the 2 bowl-shaped capitals that were on the top of the column, and the 10 strands and the 10 basins on the strands, and 1 sea and 12 oxen under the sea, and the pots and the shovels and the bowls and all the utensils which Hiram made for Solomon Shlomo for the house of Jehovah were of polished bronze. And the Solomon had them cast in the clay in the district of Jordan, of the Jordan between Succoth and Tesseret. I mean, he's talking about the land. I had to look this up. I didn't know what he mean he had them cast. So he means that's what he was molded and had them made between these places because the land was good there. That's what I found in my studies. And Shlomo left all the utensils unweighed because there were many, nor was the weight of the bronze searched out. So Shlomo made all the utensils for the house of Jehovah, the slaughter place of gold, and the table of gold on which was the showbread, or the bread of presence, a better word there, and the lampstand, the refined gold, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left in front of the speaking place, with the flowers and the lamps and snuffers of gold, and the basins and the snuffers and the bowls and the ladles and the fire holders of refined gold and the hinges of gold, both for the doors of the inner house, the most set apart place, and for the doors of the house of the Hekel. Thus all the work which Solomon Shlomo had done for the house of Jehovah was completed. And Solomon Shlomo brought in the set apart items of his father David, the silver and the gold and the utensils, and put them in the treasuries of the house of Jehovah. Wow. Go look, go do your homework like I had to do, and go look all this stuff up. This stuff was beautiful. It was amazing. You talk about a building, and you can go look up his house and compare it to the set apart place that he built, and it'll wow you. Nothing to be compared what's to come. I can guarantee you. But can you imagine the king's heart was all in this, the condition of his heart. And I'm going to have to show you tonight to do a demonstration, because I can't just read it to you. I have to show you the posture of the king and how our posture should be as a church, as a body. Where is your heart tonight? Our pastor comes on Fridays and Saturdays and gives the message, because the heart, your heart has to be toward him. Sister Linda gets up there and sing. When the song goes, your heart should be in it. Because what else are you here for? What else are we here to come? But to give praise and thanks to him. And I'm going to show you what the word says. Because this has been heavy on me for a couple of days. And I have to show you the posture of the king. What he done. But let's read, because this is still part of the Haftorah. that I'm going to show you the part that it didn't cover. That Yehovah, keep reading. Let me show you something. Then Shlomo assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to Solomon Shlomo in Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of Yehovah from the city of David, which is in Zion, in Zion. And all the men of Israel, all of them, I look around, I don't see all of us here. You know why? It's the heart. It's the condition of the heart, and the word is going to tell us. I promise you, by tonight, you'll remember what we looked at. It's all about the heart. And all the men and all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark and brought up the ark of Yehovah and the tent of appointment and all the set apart utensils that were in the tent. And the priests and the Levites brought them up. And Solomon Shlomo and all the congregation of Israel who had assembled with him were with him before the ark, slaughtering so many sheep and cattle that they could not be counted or numbered. And the priests brought the ark of the covenant of Yehovah to its place, into the speaking place of the house, to the most set apart place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread two wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubim covered the ark and its poles. And we know that when Moshe built it, he built the ark on the cherubim was on the cover. Shlomo got these massive here, and it's under it. I can tell you, he built this grand. His heart was all in, I promise you. And verse 8, and the poles extended, so the end of the poles were seen from the set-apart place in the front of the speaking place. But they were not seen from the outside, and they are there to this day. And there's our verse of scripture that, and there was naught in the ark. Y'all remember that? Only the two tables of stone which Moshe put at Horeb, where Yehovah made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Mitzrayim. And it came to be when the priests came out of the set apart place that the cloud filled the house of Yehovah, so that the priests were unable to stand and perform the service because of the cloud, for the steam of Yehovah filled the house of Yehovah. We've seen that happen in Moshe. And we see this in this Haftorah. Just imagine, this is all we had was the Haftorah. Where would our heart be? And Shlomo said, Yehovah has said he would dwell in the dark cloud. And I have indeed built you an exalted house, an established place for you to dwell in forever. And the sovereign turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. And he said, blessed be Yehovah Elohim of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David, and with his hand has filled it, saying, since the day I brought my people Israel out of Mitzrayim, I have chosen no city from any tribe of Israel in which to build a house for my name to be there, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of Yehovah Elohim of Israel. But Yehovah said to my father David, because it has been in your heart to build a house for my name. Look, just keep track of how many times the word heart comes out tonight. You did well that was in your heart. Only you do not build a house, but your son, who is coming from your loins, he does build a house for my name. Now Yehovah has established his word, which he spoke, and have been raised up instead of my father David, and sit on the throne of Israel as Yehovah promised, and build a house for the name of Yehovah, Elohim of Israel, and have appointed there a place for the ark, where is the covenant of Jehovah, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Mitzrayim. What a powerful reading. In the heart of King David at the time, his father, because look, he was a man of war. David could fight. And he still wanted to build a house. But Jehovah said, no, but your son is going to build it. And boy, did he build it, and did he do it right. Miss Sylvia, this is why I'm going to need you. Yes. Because now, after the come on, man. After you know, reading all this and looking at the house that Yahweh, because his heart was in it. Now, this is where I have to show you the posture of the king. You think he learned from his father? He took the crown off. Because right here he's at the starter place. Read slowly at the scripture and look at what the king is doing. He's lowering himself. And listen to the word he says. This is what we got to finish reading. Come here, I got to show you the posture of the king. I can't tell you and read it. I have to show you where his heart was tonight. You got to come right in the front so I can suck it, and you got to let me read it. Stuff from right here. Verse 22, y'all follow along. And Shlomo stood before the ark. Stood before the slaughter place of Yehovah. That word stood, but he wasn't standing. In front of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands to the heavens. This is the king. And said, O Elohim of Israel, there is no Elohim in the heavens above or on the earth below like you, guarding your covenant and loving commitment to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who guard that which you did promise your servant David, my father. Indeed, you have both spoken with your mouth and have filled it with your hand as it is this day. And now, O Elohim of Israel, guard what you promised your servant David, my father, saying, there is not to cease a man of yours before me sitting on the throne of Israel only. This is the problem we have right here, only because we have this in our heart. We have stones in there that only he can remove. Only if your sons guard the way to walk before me as you have walked before me. This is what he's telling King David. And now, O Elohim of Israel, please let your word come true which you have spoken to your servant David, my father. For is it true? Elohim dwells on the earth? Is it true? What a good question. He owns the earth. And he owns all the inhabitants here. See, the heavens. And the heavens of heavens are unable to contain you. How much less this house which I have built. Yet shall you turn to the prayer of your servant and his supplication, Yehovah my Elohim, and listen to the cry and prayer which your servant is praying before you today. Shall you turn to the prayer? That's what he's asking. And this should be our prayer. For your eyes to be open toward this house night and day. This morning when I got up praying, I was praying for this house. Toward the place of which you said, my name is there. Wow, how awesome is that? Hallelujah, his name is here. To listen to the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. Then shall you hear the supplication of your servant, of your people Israel, when they pray toward this place? When you hear in your dwelling place in the heavens? What great questions Shlomo is asking. And shall you hear and forgive? We'll go up. If anyone sins against his neighbor and has lifted up an oath on him to cause him to swear and come and swear before your slaughter place in this house, then hear in the heavens and act right, rule and rule right, and rightly rule your servants, declaring the wrongdoer wrong, bringing his way on his head, and declaring the righteous right by giving him according to your righteousness. When your people are smitten before an enemy because they have sinned against you and they have turned back to you and confess your name and prayer and make supplication to you in this house. Where do we come? In this house. To hear in the heavens and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they sin against you, have mercy on us, Father. When they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin, and turn from their sin because you afflict them, then hear in the heavens and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, who for you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and shall give rain on your land which you have given to your people as inheritance. We're going to need the rain. A bunch of us got gardens. We're going to need the rain. When there is scarcity of food in the land, when there is pestilence, blight, mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, when their enemy distresses them in the land of their cities, any plague, any sickness, whatever prayer, whatever supplication made by anyone of your people Israel, each knowing the plague of his own heart, you can't make this up, and shall spread out his hands toward this house. Can you see the king tonight? Then hear in the heavens your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render unto everyone according to his ways, whose heart you know, because you alone know the hearts of the sons of men, so that they fear you all the day that they live in the land which you gave to your fathers, our fathers. This next part is what really, really struck me. This is what he had to teach. I had to learn. Also, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people Israel, did you hear me? But has come from a far land for your name's sake, since they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm, and he shall come and pray to this house here in the heavens, your dwelling place, and do according to all for your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, know that this house which I have built is called by your name. When your people go out to battle against their enemy in the way that you send them, and they shall pray to Yehovah toward the city which you have chosen and toward the house which I have built for your name, then you shall hear in the heaven. Then shall you hear in the heavens their prayer and their supplication, maintain their cause when they sin against you. For there is no one who does not sin, for all have sinned, and we all have fallen short. And you become enraged with them and give them to the enemy, and they take them captive to the land of the enemy, fear far or near. And they shall turn back unto their heart to the land where they have been taken captive, and shall turn and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and acted corruptly. We have committed wrong. Oh boy. And they shall turn back to you with all their what? Their heart. And with all their being in the land of their enemies, who led them away captive, and shall pray to you toward their land, which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Then you shall hear in the heavens your dwelling place, their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. Then shall you hear in the heavens. I'm sure, aren't you so glad he can hear? Mm-hmm. And forgive your people who have sinned against you, and their transgression, which they have transgressed against you, and give them compassion before those who took them captive, even compassion on your enemies. And they shall have compassion on them, for they are your people, your inheritance, for you have brought them out of Mizraim, out of the iron furnace. We could not get out. I could not get out. Let your eyes be open to the supplication of your servant, and to supplicate your people Israel to listen to them whenever they call on you, for you have separated them unto yourself, hallelujah, for an inheritance out of all the peoples of the earth. Look, he didn't choose us down here to teach us all this, to let us drown. As you have spoken by the hand of your servant Moshe, whom you brought our fathers out of Mitzrayim, O Master Yehovah. What a prayer. I wept on my couch for 2 days to read this. Because this is the condition of the heart of the king. How much less how heart our heart should be when we come here to this third point place and the house that was built in his name. What is our posture when we come here? Look at it. I see it already. It's empty. You can see the love for the people. Because you know what? When your heart is right, every time the door is open, when they call for a meeting, when they call for whatever it is, we're here. You should be here. You should want to be here. Amen. Not say, well, I'm not commanded. That's a poor excuse. Shame on us. And we want to say we're his people. I ain't done with y'all yet. I wasn't done either. And it came to be when Shalom had ended praying all this prayer and supplication to Yehovah, that he rose up from before the solid place of Yehovah, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread to the heavens. When you come here, when the music's going, when the worship, our hands should automatically want to lift him up and give him praise for what he has done all week. Every day, for all your years, for almost 78 years old, give him thanks and praise for what he's done. Doesn't your age doesn't matter here in the house before him? It's your heart. It's what he wants. Trust me, I had to learn this too. Before I can read that, this 2 days I dwelt on this. Trust me, it makes your heart heavy. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice saying, oh, and that fit me right there when he said with a loud voice. I said, I'm in. Blessed be Yehovah, who has given rest to his people, Israel. You want rest? Bless him. According to all that he promised. He has not failed one word of his good word. Pastor, has he ever failed you? I'm sure he never failed you, not one time. None of us can say he ever failed us. We failed him. Why? Because a heart condition. Watch, it's coming. I've already said it because your heart was diseased. Blessed be Yehovah, who has given rest to his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good work, which he promised through his servant Moshe. What are we reading about? Every time we come here Shabbat, we learn about Moshe. We see the heart of Moshe. What do you say? Moshe and Aaron, they fall on their knees before the people. Because y'all want to destroy them all. Yehovah Elohim is with us as he was with our fathers. He does not leave us nor forsake us to incline our hearts to himself. The earth is his, the scripture says. And we are his. It's he that created us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That's what the scripture says. To incline our hearts to himself, to do what? To walk in his ways and to guard his commands. Not the pastors, not the pastor, whatever you want to call him. It's Jehovah. That's what he's been saying since day one. And his laws and his right ruling, which he commanded our fathers. And let these words of mine, which I have made supplication before her, Yehovah, be near Yehovah Elohim day and night. You didn't call him day and night. He ain't sleeping. He's always awake. He's waiting for you. He's waiting you to get it right. He's waiting for us to get it right as a body. And let these words of mine, which I have made supplication before Yehovah, be near Yehovah Elohim day and night to maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, the matter of each day in its day, every day of our lives, so that all the peoples of the earth might know that Yehovah is Elohim and there is no one else. So I don't know who you come here to say when it comes to Shabbat time, but all our praise should go to him. All our thanks go to him. We have to posture ourselves. Our heart has to be right. Because we're fixing to take Passover. And our heart has to be right there. You have to be in it. Because what? The master died for us. He gave his heart. And if we just trample it down and we disregard it, he said that you're in trouble. Those who disregard that are in trouble. That's what the scripture says. And he's given us mercy time and time and time again. We have to prepare our hearts for what's to come. So that all the peoples of the earth, one day they're going to know that Yehovah is Elohim and there is no one else. Let your heart therefore be what? Perfect. Then he tells Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. You can be perfect. To Yehovah Elohim, to walk in his laws and to guard his commands as at this day. Today, every time you get up, make it a purpose to be your heart perfect toward him. We have to, as a body, as a community, as a people. Why? Because I just read a little while ago, because when there's sickness and when there's famine and when there's no rain, when all these things, the first thing we do, when everything's going well, we tend to forget about him a little bit. But when we need him, our hearts are crying out. It should always cry out. Always. And the sovereign and all Israel with him slaughtering before Yehovah. You going to tell me the heart of the king is not in it? Wait when I read this right here. When I read, look, I started to see his posture, what he was doing before the slaughter place. And the sovereign, all Israel with him, slaughtering before Yehovah. And Shlomo slaughtering the peace offerings, which he slaughtered to Yehovah, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Thus the sovereign and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of Yehovah. Not just the king. All Israel was together. We can learn from this. On that day, the sovereign set apart the middle of the courtyard that was in front of the house of Yehovah. He had to make another spot holy, set apart. For there he made offerings, ascending offering, and the grain offerings, and the fat of the priest, peace offerings. I'm going to get it out. Because the bronze, this stuff is just so exciting. Because the bronze slaughter place that was before Yehovah was too small. You tell me he's not all in it? You tell me his heart's not in it? He's all out. Giving it all out his best. Laying it all on the line. Too small. You can't contain Yehovah. All he asks is for your heart to be right toward him. Too small to contain the ascending offering and the grain offering and the fat of the peace offering. And Shlomo at that time performed the festival, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the Wadi of Mitzrayim before Yehovah our Elohim. 7 days and 7 days. Boy, these festivals are coming. I can't wait. And on the eighth day, that day is coming. The eighth day. He sent the people away. And they blessed the sovereign. And went to the tents rejoicing and glad of heart. That's what the Bible says. See, I told you. Tonight is the heart condition. We have to posture our heart toward Him. He can remove the stones. He can remove the junk out of your heart if you let Him. He ain't going to force you. He ain't going to force Himself upon you. He's going to open His arms up to you. And we have to come to Him. Glad of heart for all the goodness that Jehovah had done for His servant David and for Israel, His people. Hallelujah. When I read that, I was blown away. Because that's not even in the Torah portion. I don't know if it's in the slides, because I only got to a couple hundred of them. But that part of the reading, this is the part where everybody said, sit down, let me just show you something. Because it stopped right above that. We don't see, nobody reads that part. Look, the Haftorah are just as important as the Torah portions. They're there for our learning. Now, I would have never saw that if I wouldn't have said, you know what, if I just lay in my bed and I ain't getting up. That's the wrong way to posture my eye. I don't want to read. I can just go find something. But is it something that I want to do? Or is it something that He wants me to do? Or wants me to learn? What's the lesson out of it? It's the heart. When your heart is postured right. That, I wasn't supposed to read that so fast. But that word perfect, there's two words. One is H8003 in verse 61 is shalem. And it means complete, safe, peaceful, perfect, whole, full, at peace, complete, full, perfect, finished, safe, unharmed, peace. The list goes on. Keeping perfect, complete of keeping covenant relation. Wow. Huh? It's a covenant that He made with Abraham. He said that same covenant still stands today with you and I. Because wow, we were the foreigner. I just read it. Verse 41, and concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, we wasn't that, that was us. We was not that people. We were the stranger. We were the foreigner. How is so glad that we're grafted in. We're grafted under Messiah because He paid the price for all. He said, look, whosoever will. But these are the terms. These are the conditions. You guard my laws, my commands. Just like my people, you have to do the same. It's very simple. It really is. Who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far land for your name's sake. This is why we're here today. This is why I'm here. I mean, I can't speak for you, but I can speak for me. Since they hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm, and he shall come and pray toward this house. Boy, I tell you, I needed that. That second word is H7999, shalom. And it's to be in covenant of peace. Be at peace. Peaceful one. Be at peace. To make peace with. To cause to be at peace. To live in peace. To be complete. To be sound. To be uninjured. Finish. To make safe. To make whole or good. Restore. Make compensation. You think Yah's not care? You think He doesn't love you? That's why He has these words in there for us to learn. To be repaid, to be requited, to make good, pay, recompense, reward. We all want that. We have the price comes with that. It's called obedience. Boy, I don't know about you, but I need to get that out. Because it was bothering, because when all this stuff's in your heart and your attitude is not right toward Him. Now we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. Let's look at something here. You say, well, we're not here to pick. I'm not here to pick on Shlomo, but I'm gonna tell you, when he done it big. He went all out. Yehovah went all out for you and I. Should we not go out for all out for him? Should we not want to come praise him when it's time to praise him? Should we not want to come sit in his yeshiva and learn? And when we have a midrash, should we not, wouldn't our heart tell you, let's go hear what's going on? It's a day set apart that he made for us. We didn't make it for him. He made it for us to enjoy. In Ecclesiastes 1, the words of Kohatha, son of Dawid, sovereign of Yerushalayim. Faulty, says Kohatha, faulty. All is full, is fully, faulty. Huh? Fertility. Fertility, says Kohatha. What does a man gain from all his labor to which he toils under the sun? Wow. That's a good, very good question. Where's your heart at when you're doing it? A generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth stands forever. I mean, you know, he's not giving up his land for nobody. I don't know who it is. And he wants you in it. Or you can be exterminated out. But the earth remains forever. And I know we all know what the earth is. But on my list, I got a long definition. It goes from A to Q. So I want to read some of these definitions to you. It's erects, H776, land, earth. And whole earth, inhabitants. This is one of the definitions. You can look, the list is long. It's got it in numbers, but I just went A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way down to Q, because I ain't sitting there to write a bunch of numbers. Country, territory, district, region, piece of ground. I don't know, if it's a spoonful, it belongs to him. The land of Canaan, Israel, inhabitants of the land. I like the I, because I put I in here. You think Yehovah, you know? He says, Sheol, land without return, or AKA underworld. It's his. He created it. City, state, people of the land. Space or distance of country. Level, plain country, land of the living, ends of the earth. He's concerned about all countries, land, wilderness. It's all his. That's what the earth is. It's all his. And he had to say so. And if you want to live on his earth, you have to abide by his rule. And that's just the bottom line. And we say it every week, every day. Guard the commands. Guard his laws and his right ruling. Who are we? He had to say, well, we don't need that. We don't need all these slides. Or it's too hard, it's too tough. Really? I don't see that tough in here in the air conditioning. Feels pretty good to me. The sun also rises, and the sun sets, and hurries back to the place where it arose. Even the sun knows its place. Because you know why? Because he created it. Going to the south and turning to the north, turning on its round, the wind returns. Huh? I know NASA says we rotate around the sun. Now what the word says. Now either Yehovah's lying or Shlomo's lying what he wrote, or we're going to believe what NASA says. Think about it. All the rivers run to the sea, yet the sea never overflows to the place from which the rivers come. There they return again. All matters are wearisome. No one is able to speak of it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That's the problem, because you know we're not satisfied. The eye. The scripture says that the eye is the lamp of the body. And when you see it with your eyes, where does it go down? It goes down into your heart. Then we start craving it. It's the flesh that you deal with. Or you can say, like some people, the devil made me do it. No, it's not. It's your flesh. It's what you want. It's what I want. What has been is what shall be. And what has been done is what shall be done. And there is no new matter under the sun. Is there a matter of which it is said, see, this is new? It was here already long ago. There is no remembrance of former ones, nor is there any remembrance of those that are to come by those who come later on. I, Kohath, was sovereign over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart. See the condition? We all have it. To seek and search out wisdom. This is what we should be doing. The posture of the king. By wisdom concerning all that has been done under the heavens. This evil task, what Elohim has given to the sons of men to be humbled by it? You think y'all want to teach us a lesson at times? I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and see, all was futile, and feeding on wind. Means you're doing it for nothing. If your heart ain't right when you're coming here, if your heart ain't right towards your pastor, if your heart ain't right towards your neighbor, if your heart ain't right towards your wife and your children and your kids, all your labor here is what you almost say, you're doing it for nothing. Everything that he built was grand. And at the time he built it, he was in it. But what did Yehovah say? Guard my words. Guard, guard, guard. And what we've been saying here, guard it, keep it, treasure it, like it's your last. And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I know that this too is feeding on wind. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases suffering. You know, I just, that vanity, that futility is vanity. Habel H1892, and it's very short, the definition, vapor or breath, that's your lifespan. What do you do with it? The few years you're here on his earth that remain forever, what do you do with it? What do you do with your breath? What are you giving our praise to? Where's our heart at it? Look, for the past few days, we've been sowing and planting and reaping, and I can tell you, Pop heart was in it. My heart was been in it. My wife's home, my mother-in-law, going to town and grocery shopping and stocking up, preparing, because he wants to teach us something. Not to hurt us. But he wants to see where your heart's at in it. So what if a storm comes, you lose it all? Did you lose your heart toward him? That's where he's asking you, trust me in everything. That's what he's asking for. That's what he's asking for in your heart, to trust him. No matter where you go, he should be your top priority. Boy, oh boy. Let's look at a few of the slides. I ain't going to put it up, brother, but if y'all don't mind, just a few of them. Because I thought this was so powerful when they're looking at it. And it's slide 185. It's the acacia wood. Acacia wood in Hebrew is shittah, strong 7848. The shittah tree grows in the desert of Sinai, the deserts all around the Dead Sea. The wood is hard, very heavy, indestructible by insect, and has a fine, beautiful grain. Trust me, I looked this up. It is beautiful. You don't get big pieces out of it, but it's beautiful what you get. It was a remarkable luxury in dry places, sometimes attaining a height of 20 feet. Huh? Oh, I thought I said something. This pictures for us the indestructibility of Messiah and his incorruptibility in the flesh. The Hebrew name means sticks or pierces because its thorny branches do indeed look like a hedge pod of twigs. Very few of the branches are thick enough to make boards out of. So articles were made from them by connecting the sticks together to make beams that could support great weight. This ties in wonderfully to the concept of the two sticks of Ephraim and Yehuda being made into one tree. And Yehezkel, Ezekiel 37:17, and to Shaul's explanation in Bereshit 18:18, and in Romans 11 about branches from other trees being grafted into Abraham's root. I thought about that when that guy said, we are all the seed of Abraham. I said, you're right. He was correct in that statement. But when I tell you what, when I got to that slide and I got to the Romans 11, I said, I'm not even dare going to go there. I'm glad you brought it. He said, go to Romans 11. I'm glad he brought me to the Haftorah. Because that Roman really is powerful. That's a lot. You can't just read Romans 11 and try to play. It's very tough. But if you take your time, you open up to him and he can teach you. This wood would not rot nor be affected by any insect and speaks of the purity of Messiah. Grafted into him, we need never see decay or rot. When you're grafted into him, what he said, you're the foreigner, you're the stranger, and you call on him, you come unto him, look, you're going to be just like him. I don't know why every time I see somebody, but let me show you how the world thinks within man's heart. I seen a guy today, another one told me this. He said, man, you're growing your beard, you look like that guy that, toward the end of the year. Nah, not him. That's not why I grow it. But that's what the world thinks. That's what's in the heart of people today. That the first thing they say, man, you look like that guy. I don't want to look like that guy. That's not the reason why I'm growing that. I don't really go into definition with it, but no, I'm not that guy. And I end my conversation right there because I know what man thinks. And you have to be in a spot sometime to really sit down and explain to people. It's hard to do it when you're running around trying to work and you say you look like, nah. But that's what's in the heart of people. The acacia wood was used in the constructions of the slaughter place, bronze laver, the showbread table, the slaughter place of incense, and the Ark of the Covenant, as well as the boards of the dwelling place. Why? Because it was precious, and they needed it. And that's the stuff that was overlaid in gold, and it represents our Messiah. Where was Shlomo? Before the slaughter place, pouring his heart out, and he was the king. All of these were made according to the perfect pattern that was shown to Moshe, all with the complete purpose of the fully functional dwelling place, tabernacle, being set up so that Yehovah would dwell amongst his people. Hallelujah. And look, the whole point is this tonight was to show you the heart, a condition of man, and where, but how our heart should be toward him. How the king was on his knees, calling out to Yehovah, calling out on behalf of the people, just like Moshe did to him and Aharon. Because we're the foreigners. We come under his banner, and we need him every day. I need him. So, this is a little short. You know, when I'm going over it, it seems longer. When here, I might have read it kind of fast. But look, please go back and read that story about Shlomo and the presence that he was in before Yehovah and the slaughtering that he saw, because he was all in it. His heart was all in it. So, let's remember Friday night. We come back. I know that's not be a whole lot of that's teaching on Friday night. But when Shabbat rolls here that morning, so look, let's give thanks to him. Because for what he's done, he gives us the very breath in our lungs, and we need it. We need Him. Because without it, what are we? What are we coming here for? And you don't like my famous statement I say all the time. Are you not entertained? This is what He's screaming to us. So, anyway, Lord, let's remember T. See, the text request came out for her.